Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 439, Bumblebee.
Yep. The Transformers movie.
Yeah, but it actually wasn't a piece of crap.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. So wow. I guess before we
ready to rumble,
before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. A quick shameless plug. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. Also check out our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you can get all sorts of bonus content and feel like a good person because you're helping us out.
That's right.
So there, we've gotten all that out of the way. Let's tackle Bumblebee. Apparently, Joe didn't like it.
No. No, I didn't. It's like, I've seen this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but okay.
The Iron Giant?
Not the, well, okay.
Well, it is.
It is the Iron Giant.
Iron Giant, E.T.
Transformers 1.
I don't even remember Transformers 1.
It's basically the same movie, just with less Transformers.
Less Transformers was more.
I don't disagree.
Oh, yeah. The parts where they went smaller in this movie, I really loved it. But to be a Transformers movie, you have to have action scenes. I get why.
Absolutely.
They
absolutely. Like, I enjoyed the action scenes. I found myself enjoying the action scenes so much more because they weren't nonstop.
Yeah.
And they made me care about these characters in between the action scenes.
Right. And it's a prequel. It erases all that other stuff, all the nonsense sequels that came out. You don't have to think about them, and they can now choose to either lead directly into them or kind of soft reboot it and change things along the way.
Which is what I think they're probably wanting to do.
Yeah, like, I think that they're going to, it's a little bit of a soft reboot. But the other thing, too, is that this movie is for the fans. This is for people that grew up with the original Transformers G1, 1987. Cybertron scene in the beginning with all the original designs was awesome. And I know you weren't a fan, right?
When Transformers was starting, I was like 16 years old. So, like, not that I didn't watch cartoons when I was 16, but, like, for me, I was like, it's for little kids. It really wasn't on my radar.
This movie feels like it was for little kids.
And I will say, I this was the best of any of the Transformers movies,
absolutely,
in my opinion.
I
didn't need nostalgia to enjoy this movie.
And I think I agree with you there, but, like, I have the nostalgia and it's icing on the cake, mm-hmm, because not only do you have a quieter movie that's more about the characters, that's a lot of fun as well, but then you get again those G1 designs, where one of the main complaints with Transformers movies is that they are these weird aliens, which technically, yes, alien to Earth is anyone coming from outside of Earth, but they made them look like aliens, right? Like a weird thing. Whereas in the cartoon, they're robots, and then they go to Earth and they turn into cars.
When we get this opening scene on Cybertron,
which I thought was awesome.
It was amazing.
I thought the action, I'm like, give me a whole movie of this type of animation and action.
That's the problem, is like, I was like,
you were set up.
This is it. Like, this is what I wanted, because it is like, it, you know, I grew up, I'm a G1.
Yeah.
You know, like, so like I had a bootleg copy of the unedited cut of Transformers, the movie. Yeah. Like, that's all good stuff. And this opening scene, I was like, this is it. Like, it was hitting, you know, you get Soundwave's original voice, a version of the original voice.
Megatron, they cut him. He was in it and they cut it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was waiting for that Megatron voice, that Frank Welker.
As long as he turns into a gun.
Right, but like, we don't get any Megatron in this one. But rumored is the Optimus Prime solo story next, and there's going to have to be Megatron if they do Optimus.
So, like, when they get to Earth, and even the scene on Earth, I was fine with, because he's talking, and he's, you know, but when we go right back into
taking away the voice,
making him kind of babyish.
Yeah, I will say that I tuned out.
Like, I was out at that point.
I will say that they made him dumb.
Yeah,
I will because I was watching this and I was like, well, this is supposed to be like, you're our advanced scout, you're our lead man, and then he gets here and he's like cowering in the corner.
Like, baby.
He's a puppy.
Yeah, he is a puppy. Yeah,
they did it for like cute points,
right?
Like an animal.
And that to me, I was done. Like, see, it took me out of it completely.
I didn't take it like that. So the interesting thing is, in the original cartoons, like, Bumblebee's one of the guys. He's one of the main Autobots.
Bumblebee, Hot Rod, and Optimus.
Right. But in this movie, he's B-137 or whatever. Right. See, I took it as he's just a basic. He's just a basic one, you know. So there's lots of bumblebees.
Well, I feel like when they're on Cybertron, like Optimus, like, and Bumblebee is kicking the bejesus. He's fighting, like, he's not like he's looking off and, you know, standing off, and he's the last Autobot to get out of there. Like, he's side by side with Optimus, fighting with Optimus, taking out, you know, Decepticons, and then he gets to Earth. And he has a killer fight with the two Decepticons.
Wait a minute. His memory's wiped. That's why he acts like that.
Which is, again,
his memory's wiped from being a soldier. When he lands and is fighting with John Cena and crew, his memories get wiped. So he wouldn't have the memory of being a soldier and being a badass.
But
that's why he's scared.
That's my problem.
But it makes sense, though. I haven't seen this in 2 weeks, but now that I'm thinking about it,
yeah,
they show when he shuts down,
it goes memory damaged
or whatever.
Right.
And so he acts like a scared animal, because he literally is turning on for the first time, no idea who he is, where he is, what to do. So I think that pretty much explains
it.
That
it does explain it. I just think it was, oh, I didn't like it.
Because I
liked it in the first one. Like, I liked the Shia LaBeouf and Bumblebee, like that little where he's like trying to learn the way of the world and, you know, things I saw it. I want the Bumblebee from the first 5 minutes of this movie.
See, well, I get that, but like, see, this movie I like so much better than the first one, and I like Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah,
but this movie I think is so much.
I think they have figured it. It's interesting how
I hated that Bumblebee in the first Transformers movie,
but it's the same Bumblebee.
No, well, because like. So I wanted the Bumblebee from the beginning of this movie, like you did, but then the one I got in Transformers, I'm like, oh, I hate this one. But like, I think the dynamic of him learning from scratch, whereas that Bumblebee was activated in the Shia LaBeouf version, this one learning from scratch and having to learn the ways and the interaction with Haley Steinfeld and stuff, I loved the
dynamic. So I guess it does kind of get rid of the original five. There's five of those movies?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, it's a prequel, so it could lead into them. It could not.
Well, no. Well, but we're saying, like, in that movie, Shia LaBeouf activates Bumblebee.
We don't know how he's going to get back into slumber. This is a prequel.
That's true. But I'm saying he's already done every. So, I mean, they'd have to wipe his memory again to get to that character.
We don't know. Exactly.
That's true.
So it either could lead into it or erase them.
It's kind of like Justice League and Aquaman at this point.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, wait.
Yeah.
What? Wait. Where does this
tie in?
I
mean, this is 1987.
Yeah.
Just like the cartoon, right?
Yes.
So you get, you know, and this also, one thing, I mean, I'm not saying I totally hated it, but this movie was also like, we're going to be Guardians of the Galaxy and have really cool music the whole time.
Well,
where they're just like, 5 seconds of this song from the 80s.
Oh, my God. I think they spent more on music licensing than they did on effects.
Totally. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So, like, again, I'm not saying the music was terrible, but they were so like, buy our mixtape volume one for Bumblebee. You know, it was a total Guardians of the Galaxy
kind
of.
Yeah.
But
so yeah, so there's the.
Oh, but my point is though that this is 87. A lot can happen between 87 true. And
2006. No,
2008 or
the first
something like that. Yeah. So there's a lot of prequel that they could do if they were going to lead up to them.
Sure.
Obviously, they're going to do whatever they do, and then the Transformers are going to be in rest mode. And
yeah, I guess so. Let's get this out of the way right now.
2007.
Okay.
John Cena sucks.
Oh, he's horrible.
He's in a different movie.
Yeah. Completely different movie.
I don't know what movie he's
like.
Making.
This it is like watching his character from wrestling.
It's hard.
It's I mean.
I wouldn't know.
Well, yeah. But like this is kind of what he is. Like he so like that. Oh, there's a whole opening scene where he is. I was like, horrible. Okay. Even that opening scene, I was like, okay, I see what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Like he's the badass who kind of has a garbage sense.
He's
of
small.
Humor.
He's not intimidating at
well,
all.
Well, he's off the gas.
Yeah.
Like they.
But it's
so
like
he, it's
you
funny.
Know the Rock when you see him in Fast Six or whatever, and you're like, holy. Because
okay. The Rock's not off the gas.
Yes. But you're like holy crap! Like Hobbs is intimidating. Yeah. You see John Cena and he's like skinny from the side, and you're like, this guy.
So
is not
he showed up. They brought him back to do. Some stuff on TV as like a you know for the holidays
to like wait on the guy.
No, like so like he did a little bit of a segment with Becky Lynch, who if you watch wrestling, anybody out there, they know that she is kind of like their hot commodity mm-hmm. right now. Like she has she's their new Stone Cold Steve Austin basically. Yeah. There's a great gif of like
the last kicker.
She gets legitimately punched in
like
the face.
Cancel her title.
But like the gif of her kind of like she walks up through the stands, arms out. Blood, I mean, just like everywhere, just like, you know, bring it on. So that has propelled her to like the bigger than some of the dudes.
Okay.
So they did a thing with John Cena where she's just like, either you get out of my ring or Nikki Bella isn't the only woman that's going to be kicking you to the curb.
Here. Oh.
Like she's not pulling any, she yeah. hasn't pulled any, but going to Cena, you look at him now and he has. It looks like somebody took a pin and like popped a balloon.
Yeah, he just doesn't look intimidated.
He grew his hair out and he has a bald spot.
Yeah,
like on the you know, yeah. And it's just like, oh, dude, you don't do that.
The
what
problem is this role is clearly like the Hobbs from Fast and Furious
or Mark
role,
Wahlberg,
right?
Yeah.
But, well, yeah, but I mean, as far as Cena's supposed to be the big, strong, tough military guy, and that's what Hobbs is, and that is the role that Rock excels at. Cena is nowhere near as
no.
A intimidating
no.
or B. Talented as The Rock, and he keeps trying to do these roles where he's The Rock and he's just not. And
well, it's
I'm,
like the character does have a weird like flip-flop where he is kind of this goofy little not goofy but like he's fun-loving where he's joking with his
right
buddy.
They're trying to make him The Rock and the problem is his delivery cannot hold
no.
up to it when he's like bantering with his guys.
Yeah,
he's just not
good.
It's no.
not and like that took me out
oh,
of it even
oh
more.
I shot you oh oops this thing's going off. I mean
oh,
did
man,
anyone
it's
find
faulty.
That entertaining?
Yeah. Nope, not at all.
He's horrible. And the thing is like I've read some reviews and talked to some people. They're like, oh, he's good in this. He's funny. And I'm like, I went
nope.
when I saw the movie, I just couldn't even believe how
no,
bad he was.
It was Hulk Hogan bad.
It was,
you know, and Hulk
I'm
Hogan.
Sorry,
has,
Hulk Hogan.
No, I mean, Hulk yeah. Hogan does have like he's got, yeah. You know, natural charisma. Yeah. That's why he was the biggest thing in the yeah. 80s. Cena does not.
Yeah. He sucks the life out of this movie. And I enjoy this movie, but when he's on screen, he doesn't have fun little one-liners. He
no.
has terrible
monologues.
Puns. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Bad.
So, yeah. So,
and that's what I was worried of because when I saw the trailer and I'm like, I hope he's just like in the periphery, like,
yeah.
like, you know, we'll see him for a glimpse and then you don't see him for 30 minutes, but they keep cutting back to the guy and he's like, this door's closed. Let's blow it up. Lock
yeah.
and load or whatever.
Like, ugh, get out of here. yeah. So the whole opening scene takes place on Cybertron. And
great
it's
scene.
Amazing. Decepticons versus Autobots. The Decepticons are winning.
Yeah, the action, the camera
that's,
sequences.
That's what
I
will
mean,
say. It's interesting that this is a Michael Bay production, but he's not directing it.
No. They've got and, to at this point. It's,
yeah,
he,
it's,
yeah,
it's his baby. Like it's, I get it.
I think at this point, anything's gonna get a producer's yeah. credit on. I don't feel like he had a hand in this.
No
on
way.
Any level.
It's just he gets that credit, just like a. You know, like
Zack
Bruckheimer is going to be on every Pirates movie, and you know, it's just any of those franchises that
yeah.
they started, they get their name on there. But,
right. but yeah. this, so like, but you can actually see, you know, who's who. Like in those Michael Bay movies, you're just like, who? It's like a
yeah.
conglomeration of metal. I don't even know
but
who's
it got
who.
So-
I will also say that my biggest complaint from the other Transformers movies is when they transform.
Yeah.
it's just like a close-up of a kaleidoscope.
It's sure. Like, it's like the close-up in Fast and Furious of the engines when they're spinning. Everything's yeah. just like happening, and you're like, oh, that's a cool engine combustion. Like, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Right.
And this one, they transform.
When they transform, You can
into
see
place,
it.
Yeah.
It looks good. Mm-hmm. You can see the logic, because that's what made the toys so cool.
That's what I'm saying.
And also so goddamn infuriating.
Right.
But yeah. This is why, again, it's for the fans, because it's like, not only do they look like their designs yeah. from G1, but when they transform, why did you love Transformers? You bought the toys because of the cartoon, and you transformed them. You saw how it worked.
Right. Yep.
And yeah, they nailed it. Now, this is the guy that, is it Leica? Whoever did Coraline, the director of this is Travis Knight. This
yeah,
is his
yeah,
first
yeah.
movie.
Did he do Cobra and the True Strings or whatever?
Well, there is a, that's
yeah,
coming out.
It's, oh,
there's
it's
something with
it's
them.
It's Cobra and Paranorman.
Okay.
Box Trolls and
Man,
Coraline.
I got to tell you.
Okay. He owns that studio.
If you haven't seen Paranorman. Paranorman's
cute.
That. It's
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
But so he's the one that, but is it Leica? Is that the name of the studio?
That did the CG all,
yeah,
for this?
He's the CEO of Leica Entertainment. So I can't remember. It's been a few weeks, but I was reading up, and apparently I think his family had money and they gave him money to start up Leica. So, like, I mean, not that he wasn't talented. He went to school and stuff.
Yeah,
but
gotta,
I think
gotta
he
have money.
Because it's like they gave him money to start this studio, I believe. And so, like, yeah, he's made all these great, really unique animated films. But this is his first directing credit, and it's like a Transformers movie.
I thought I recognized his name, but I guess I don't. Like, I thought I'd seen his name on other stuff, but.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess he had a credit on Kubo. So maybe
okay.
that's his first.
Okay.
So this is his first live action
I mean,
credit. But
we talk about Mosier coming out swinging.
Yeah.
Like this guy.
It's a big movie to, you know.
It's interesting because it's a big movie, but at the same time, it isn't. Because they've.
Big franchise.
Big
I mean.
Franchise. Small movie, big yeah. franchise. And this is kind of like a. Let's just see what we can do. Like, I don't know what they expected from this.
Well, the problem is that even though it is a smaller movie, because those other movies were, what, like 200 and something million dollar
oh,
movies?
Oh, they were massive.
This movie still had a $135 million budget. As of this recording, it's only made $97.8 million worldwide.
I think...
Has it rolled out very much worldwide? Because that makes me think it hasn't.
Yeah.
You're right. No China money. Right now, it's Australia, Croatia, Hungary, Italy, Lithuania, Mexico, New Zealand, Russia. So you don't
all
have
the places you want. To
you don't have Japan,
to.
Which I mean,
right.
It's you know, there's they a lot
their,
of anime,
we love their giant robots,
and there's a lot of anime Transformers series and stuff.
I think that at least domestically, they overestimated
Aquaman,
the appeal of this movie.
Yeah,
oh.
Like I think that. If this movie was coming out at the end of January, it would
totally
be a beast.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And I think that there's just so much coming out.
If this beats the superhero rush, like
yeah.
it's out there in front of it and doesn't yeah. have to deal with it, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, like I think in January, February, this is a $200 million movie.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, so it's made almost $100 million with hardly an overseas rollout just when it hits China and Japan.
That's
going to be
up.
Huge numbers. So anyway, it's got to make some more money, though, because they're talking about that Optimus sequel, and it's
yeah.
like...
Well, also, I think they're going up against Aquaman, which, given DC's track record, they were just like, well, we don't have to worry about that. And then...
Which I get.
Sure, yeah, and then Aquaman does what it does. You're just like, well... Damn it.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason why. I mean, Mary Poppins, I get that's counter programming,
yeah, sure.
But up against Aquaman, I think they took a gamble like, well, if this sucks,
although,
we're
honestly,
good.
From a storytelling standpoint, it's probably closer to Mary Poppins than it is Aquaman.
I don't disagree.
I think this is the first Transformers movie that is honestly more for kids.
Yeah.
So that's the way I felt.
Yeah.
I felt like this was a remake of a 1987 made for TV cartoon movie.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a nice way.
And I do mean it in this. I don't think
oh,
you're wrong, but
yeah.
I do mean it in a
okay.
nice
yeah,
way.
I
okay.
liked it. I liked that it was a simpler storytelling. I thought the dynamic and the chemistry between B and
I so okay, you're right.
I just B, thought it was cute. It was
B
I liked
and
it.
Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. Everybody else I could do without. Like I like the mom.
I
because
thought the friend was pretty. I liked it.
Not
I liked,
Barack Obama.
I was waiting for him to say his name was Barry.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. And it's also like, that kid's not a nerd.
Yeah.
No way. Like,
it wasn't as bad as Project Almanac.
It was. I was thinking that the entire time
but it's
I
just
was
when
watching
he took,
it.
When he took off his shirt and he's like
yeah.
ripped, it's like, okay, well, you're not
and,
related.
But I will say I like the fact that he was just like, oh, you kissed me. And she was like, on the cheek.
Yeah.
And then, like,
at the end,
goes to hold her hand, and he was like, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, all right.
I thought
like,
I did
enjoy that.
I thought it was really cute. I liked all the relationship dynamics between B, her, the boy, the love interest. Yeah. Like, I thought they were all really good together.
So, like, everybody else in this movie, I could have done without.
John Cena is the one.
Man, he was so bad. But like the mom is on a very funny. She's on a sitcom that's very funny. I wish I could remember the name of it. I think it was an FX show that I really enjoy. So like I was like, oh, okay, good for her for getting a little big budget paycheck. That's nice.
Yeah,
she's Bobby Hill, isn't she?
Is that who that is?
I think she's the voice. I thought she was the voice of Bobby Hill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She's the voice of Bobby Hill.
I had no idea.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, but she's on another sitcom that is very funny. And she's like a single mom trying to.
Yeah, and she was on. I think she was on. She popped up on Louis C.K.'s show a lot, right?
Oh, maybe she did.
And she played his wife on his HBO show.
Yes, that's right.
That didn't take
the,
off.
The weird sitcom.
It was 1972.
Yes,
and it was shot in front of a live studio audience.
It was very weird.
But it still had the same kind of topics and attitudes of a Louis C.K. show,
right?
But with a live studio audience. Guy.
Oh boy! I just realized we haven't started talking about this movie yet.
Wait, yeah. Sort of Cybertron. So, there's an awesome fight on Cybertron where the
she was also in the Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Of course, she was.
Just have to point that out.
So, as every Transformers story goes, the Decepticons are destroying Cybertron, the home planet of the Autobots.
Right,
and Optimus Prime holds off the Decepticons long enough to get Bumblebee on an escape pod
and other Autobots on escape pods.
Yeah, and they are supposed to land and kind of like make a base on Earth so that they can then join them and meet up.
Right. And I guess Optimus made it to Earth
eventually.
Yeah, okay. So
that scene of Optimus like fighting was amazing.
Oh no, that was
right.
Yes,
like that.
No, that whole Cybertron scene.
But Optimus, especially like jumping and shooting, like it was insane.
When he free falls
and lands on a Decepticon plane,
right?
And then like I don't know, tears him apart or something. It's cool.
It was very
cool. Really
cool. It was very. As long as they don't talk about the AllSpark, I think I'm good. So Bumblebee shows up. He is followed by two other Decepticons.
This is all during the John Cena training.
Yeah.
Thing.
So he lands. A giant fight scene again where they tear out Bumblebee's voice box where I was like, son of a bitch. Like, I don't want to, like, if I got to go through the whole figuring out how
that's
to use
the origin,
stereo
though.
Again, so stupid.
But it's like, you wondered why he didn't have a voice in that first movie. At least I give you a reason.
I didn't wonder. Like, that's the thing.
But that's not a thing from, like... That's not a thing in Transformers lore.
No,
so
it's not.
You should probably tell us why, because to give him no voice so he could do cute radio tricks is just stupid. Like, I want to know in this case, because this is a character I've known since 87. Why did you not give him a voice?
And he has a voice. Like, he has a voice in the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of do they give these these aren't.
No,
these are
randos. That's not Starscream.
We don't get Starscream except for on Cybertron.
Yeah.
And the fact, when he starts talking in that weird voice, I was like, oh my, like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I want. So fight ensues. Bumblebee.
Soundwave's so awesome.
Soundwave's a good one. Yeah, Soundwave's a really good one.
But I'm like, give me Megatron.
Soundwave's a good one when you know what a tape deck is. Like, but otherwise, you're just like, what are those things coming out of his chest?
But Peter Weller is Optimus, thank God. Remember when they tried, didn't they do one of the movies?
No.
Or it was Megatron.
It was Megatron. Because
Hugo
Weaving is Megatron.
But Peter Weller is the only, you cannot have anyone else be Optimus Prime.
No. Like, that's one of those voices where you're just, you can't. Yeah. Touch.
He used to do all the toy commercials in the 80s too, not just Transformers obviously, but like he would do just the random like toy commercials.
If you go
like
online
and
like look him up when he's doing voices, you'll realize how prevalent he was in the 80s.
But it's Frank Welker. He has almost 1,000 credits on IMDb.
Yeah,
Megatron. He does every animal voice in every cartoon you've ever seen. Like, it's insane. Yeah.
He's
Fred on Scooby-Doo, right?
Yeah.
And now he's Scooby-Doo as well.
Now he's,
he was
both.
Not originally Scooby-Doo.
No, that's right.
But I think he might have been Fred a long time ago.
Yeah, I think he's always been Fred.
Yeah.
And then he took over Scooby-Doo, I think, 10 or 15 years ago.
But
then,
look up Disney movies and look up, like, Pig. Chicken. Seriously, it's like Frank Welker.
He
does every animal noise and
Alan Tudyk is
the Frank Welker's probably like, damn it.
What are you doing?
But yeah, he has a ton of stuff.
So Bumblebee lands on Earth.
They have a big fight with the army guys.
With the army guys and two more Decepticons.
And this is where the misdirection happens, because of course when an alien robot crash lands, I get it, John Cena's like, what is this attack?
Right.
But you know, Bumblebee doesn't know what's happening, and then there's two other alien robots, which one is from Black Panther. It's the Angela Bassett? Angela.
So we see them
Who's
later.
Who's the mom in Black Panther? Is it Angela Bassett?
Angela Bassett.
Yeah. She's she's the first female Decepticon, I think, ever.
We see them. Those two show up later.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they've always been females and they've just been really good at Decepticoning us.
Ooh.
I mean, to give him credit, and he didn't write it, but that is one of the better lines in the movie.
What?
When Cena's trying to explain to the general. I will tell you. And again, it's not because of him, whoever wrote that line.
Yeah. He's like, they're called Decepticons.
Yes. Like, seriously, it's in the name. Like, that's a good line.
So the fight ensues.
And also, it's like, they're called Autobots, but they're not automotive until they get to Earth.
Correct.
But for the toy purposes,
you just deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Decepticons and Autobots.
I do always find it funny that they have doubled down on Bumblebee, who, I mean, as I know, was always a bug.
And that's another reason why this movie's better. He's a freaking Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, but Hot Rod was my favorite because he was the sports car. Yeah. And he's not in this.
No. He was in the movie.
Was he in the other ones?
That's
ridiculous. You have a car. You have a guy named Hot Rod.
He was in the original movie as the main character. Yeah. But
he gets the thing from Optimus. He becomes the leader of the Autobots. Yeah.
One and three are the only Transformers movies I would even think about watching.
I like three. Which one was that?
The one Dark of the Moon.
Where the moon landing, and they try to make it like it was a Transformer thing.
Yeah,
that redeemed it after the horrible two.
Oh man. Mudflap and Skids.
And the parents, the high parents.
Yeah, that's right. Ugh.
So bad.
And then they're just like, but Megan Fox. And they're like, I mean, you're not wrong, but doesn't help that movie at all.
But they fired her for three, right? Three was the British.
I think she had enough of the bullshit.
She wouldn't wash Michael Bay's car or something.
But that's how she got the job.
Anyway, okay, so.
Can you see her birth canal? Because I'm pretty sure. Nobody stands over a bike like that normally.
I know, I remember. I was writing reviews back then, but my written review, I remember saying that you see her straddling the bike with all the subtlety of a pap smear.
Yeah.
It's very true. It's just like, that's totally unnatural. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
So
Colonel Jack Burns presumes B-127 to be hostile invader and attacks, driving B-127 into the forest.
He turns into a Humvee, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, the planes, one is called Blitzwing attacks, and this is where they have their big fight.
Right.
And then B-127 to escape, he scans a Volkswagen Beetle.
He kills one of them. He kills one of the Decepticons, which again,
Blitzwing.
Yeah, they have a very cool fight. They tear out his box. Voice box.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tara's bird box.
Bird box. Yeah. And then he kills this one Blitzwing. Mm. And then as he's going out, like as his systems are shutting down, he sees the Volkswagen bug. And I do like that he has to find, like, there's all kinds of different things around, but his core is shutting down so fast it can't process the car. So it finds the simplest thing it can find, and it's the bug, and he turns into a bug. So then we flash forward to Hailee Steinfeld, she's just such an interesting actress because she's just all over the place. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, we just saw her in Spider-Man. She was in the third Pitch Perfect, second Pitch Perfect.
Yeah. Second they set one? Her up as third.
As the one who's going to take over the franchise.
I guess she's in the second, but she's also like one of the main in the third. She kind of takes over.
I never
over.
Saw this, the third one.
I didn't either. Yeah, but did like they set her up because like she's a pledge in the second
that's
one.
That's right.
And
that's
then all
right.
the other people are graduating. So they kind of set it up.
Where she's going to take over.
But yeah, I mean, she was 14 in True
14
Grit.
14 in True Grit. And
2010.
And
she's a pop star, a huge pop star.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In real life?
You didn't see her in movies after True Grit for a while, like very much because she's, yeah, she's a
I had
pop
no
star.
Idea. You know who I got her she's confused with is the gal from Split.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
You do.
I mean,
The gal who, like, the main character from Split.
I don't know.
Yeah, the girl who's like that he captures who ends up being.
I didn't know that she was a person. I mean, I know Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I didn't know the other person was a real, like, a famous person.
I wouldn't say she's not famous, but she's definitely like she's in
so famous none of us know her name. Yeah,
right. But she was in that really bad, not bad, but I liked it. The one where she's like the genetically engineered kid.
Megan or Morgan?
Morgan. She's Morgan.
Oh. Is she one of the
Wolf's Bane in the, or she's in the new
X-Men.
Isn't
the one
movie.
In Morgan the isn't she a Mara?
That's the other one. That's the spoiler. There's that it's Kate Mara and this other and okay. They're both the same thing.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, like anyway. Either way. Like so she's just had a very interesting career. Did she get nominated for True Grit?
Probably. That was
I
awesome.
Feel like she
so
did.
Like in the original True Grit, the actress was like 20.
Yeah,
so okay.
And it's like Hailee Steinfeld was 14, the age that she was actually supposed to be. I mean, that was and that is a packed role. Like,
oh,
that was,
yeah.
I remember, I mean, it was just so impressive to see her acting in that.
So close to that end. Oh, True Grit?
Oh.
It was a good movie until the end.
Oh.
So, yeah, so she's kind of, she's kind of like a punk rock chick.
Yeah, she's very, you know, beat of her own drum. Uh-huh. She's like listens to rock music and she's just doing
her
own
also
thing.
Listens to the Smiths. So you can tell she's like, she's a punk rock chick, but she's also kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know? She's very
like
cool.
College radio.
Yeah. Right. And she works at the local fair as like a corn dog maker.
Yeah.
But so like they make her even more relatable where she's like, you know, she's a teenager. She's
dead end
she's,
job.
Eight, she's 18. Like she wants a car, mm-hmm. her folks and her family is kind of, she feels left out from the family because her dad has obviously passed away. And like her whole family unit, which is her mom, her brother and her mom's boyfriend. She feels like they're moving past the dad and she's
totally
over the dad.
Yeah.
Dad.
She even has a line where she's like, you've moved on, but I haven't
right.
to the mom. And it's like she's found a new husband figure. I mean, they're not married yet, but you know, she's the brother seems to accept him fine, but she's just like,
when he gives her the smile book.
Yeah.
There was an audible, like I enjoyed that. Like even people in the theater were like, oh no,
yeah,
bad move, brother.
And like, and they were obviously very close. She used to work on cars. Like the whole thing was, I guess for her birthday, I don't know if it was supposed to be for this 18th or if it was like her 16th, but then he passed away, but there's a car they were working on in the garage,
a hot rod
together.
If you will.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they didn't make the new guy a bad guy.
No, it's the Ant-Man thing where it's like
he's just trying to do the best he can.
Guy, but he's good, you know, but he's clueless, but not in a mean way. He's like, you should smile more.
He's
it's
trying.
Like, yeah, you don't say that to an 18-year-old girl.
You
like,
know, it's one of those things I feel like you get away with in 1987, but in 2018, you'd be like, no, you know, you'd be much more successful if you smiled more.
But that's also like, not the way to win over your stepdaughter.
It is not.
It's like,
correct. You are right. So she's kind of, she goes to this salvage yard, which I enjoyed this guy. I like the Uncle Hank.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's
not Bruce Dern.
Not
I
Bruce,
know.
Who I thought. I recognize this guy. He's probably one of those, you know, bit actors that you see.
Yeah.
You know,
I recognize him too. I'm just like, who is that? But, she likes to go, she gets scrap parts for her car from like this boat salvage
yard. I think
it's
just a salvage yard.
And
I do like where she walks up with all the garbage and she was like, I'll give you $30. And he was like, I can get more from that from the coil. What are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, it's all I got. He's like, get out of here. Just go. So, and she's such a talented actress that she can get some stuff that probably would seem a little ridiculous and she makes it work.
I was thinking that during the movie. I'm like, with another actor, this movie wouldn't be as good, but Hailee Steinfeld sells some lines that are questionable, but she's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking that in any kind of dramatic beat, especially when she's feeling down, when she's feeling sad, when she's,
whatever. Can't get the car to work.
Yeah. I mean, it's like anyone else or a lot of other actors they could have thrown there. It wouldn't have worked. But with her, she's such a good actor. Like she you believe her. It's very organic. And so, I think she really makes this movie. She takes it to the next level where it could have been just okay.
Right.
And it ends up being really fun and kind of a
She salvaged this movie.
Yeah.
She made this movie like a C for me.
Oh,
but
well,
you know, but so,
but so
while she's there,
she's there.
She knocks over these boats and the boats kind of bump into the bug. And she, you know, you see it. And I was just, and then, of course, it's got like a honeycomb in it. And I was like, oh, God, screw you. Like, I don't need that.
Oh, real bees are inside of it.
I was like, I don't need that at all.
I was like, cereal? Someone left their cereal?
No, it's all right. So, she goes home and like she's complaining to the mom about how she wants a car. And the mom's like, you don't need. The mom is super protective for her 18th birthday. She gives her this helmet, and I do like again, like she Hailee Steinfeld plays it so perfectly, where she's the look on her, you know, she's like, what am I gonna? Come on,
she thinks
like,
she's getting a car, and she gets like a 5-year old flower. Yeah, it's
and so.
The parents are so out of touch.
Very out of touch. Like, and I do like where she's a nurse, and she was just like, do you have any idea how little money I make? And I'm just like, yeah, but you're a nurse. Like, you got to be doing all right for a nurse.
I think it depends
1987,
on what,
though.
It depends on what kind of nurse.
Oh, that's true.
If you're an RN,
yeah,
you should be doing pretty good. But if you're an LPN.
What's an LPN?
Low-paid nurse.
Oh.
No, it stands
without the degree.
It stands for something real, but they jokingly refer to it as low-paid nurse. So, I mean, it depends on the type of nurse.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
It's like,
I
you
feel
don't
like
have
looking
to go
at
to...
that house, though, she's doing all right.
But we don't know, like, what the dad had and what they, you know what I mean? Like, they could just still be in the house.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good point. So
they didn't
goes,
seem very well to do. I think that they're kind of
but
squeaking by.
They do also, they hit some really good nostalgia moments where like, Hank is trying to watch Alf, which is a thing.
I loved Alf popping up. On
absolutely.
There, yeah.
They're sitting around the TV with TV trays and TV dinners. And yeah. I was like, oh man, like this is hitting.
It's another reason.
Serious nostalgia buttons for me because I was like, this is what we did.
See,
like,
it's not only for the people that are fans of G1, but the people that were that age around G1 are also getting all that too. So it's just, it's a little
kids cuisine, if you will.
But it's also what I like about it is it presses the nostalgia buttons. But again, it's not too like wink, wink at the camera, like to where Tom didn't have the nostalgia, but he enjoyed it. Like it wasn't too over the top where he's like, what are they shoving, like forcing that? Like, I'm not feeling
the only
this,
real piece of fan service where I was just like, okay, was when they played You've Got the Touch.
I was waiting for it. I'm like, they have to.
You saved that for the end credits for me.
I knew it had to be one of the songs. Yeah. That's the song from the first one.
It is the song from the first
one. Oh, I know.
When he holds up the what's it called? The key. I'm just blanking on it.
I keep thinking Allspark, but that's not what
it's
called.
No, because that's what they called it in the Michael Bay movies,
right,
but
no.
I can't remember the thing, but nope. Yeah.
I have enough crap in my brain that I
yeah I know it's I mean if it weren't like early morning after staying up watching Black Mirror episodes I'd think of it, but
so she goes Hailee Steinfeld goes back to the she has a very embarrassing moment with the Valley Girls and
the Matrix that's
what it is. Yep,
the Matrix. Is it just called the Matrix
called
or the Matrix. Matrix of
no I think it's just called the Matrix.
Yeah.
And that's how you know you're the leader of the Autobots. Yeah. And Hot Rod got the Matrix.
Do you mean Rodimus Prime?
No, I mean Hot Rod.
No, when
I know he becomes Rodimus Prime. He will always be Hot Rod.
That has to be one of the dumbest decisions ever. In the Transformers movie, in the first
spoilers.
30 minutes. Yeah, sorry, spoilers. The kids all go to the first ever Transformers movie. They kill off Optimus Prime in the first 30 minutes. And then for a year on the show to try to sell different toys, you know, Rodimus Prime and everything.
He had like a different headgear.
There's no Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Like,
and then they bring him back.
Yeah, they had to fix that real quick.
Right.
But that voice cast, though, Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, yeah.
Orson Welles.
Judd Nelson
is Hot Rod.
It is Hot Rod.
Yeah.
It was, definitely a very 80s movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
Orson Welles was
his Unicron.
Unicron, yeah.
One of his last was that his last role?
It may have been.
It was real close to it. If it's not, I think
it was his last role. Yeah. High note.
Forever.
Out on a high note.
I'm sure he's just like, this is what my legacy is supposed to be. Right. Is the voice of a cartoon Transformer.
Yeah.
So she goes back to Hank and she's like, how much do you want for the Hot Rod? She's like, for the bug.
Well, I like this. She's like, I will work for you. I will stay late. I'll scrub toilets, blah, blah. And I do like it when he's like, no deal. Because we're not hiring. It's yours.
It's yours. And he's like, and by the way, my toilets are
pristine.
And I was just like, oh, gross.
Yeah.
So she takes
That's not gross. They're pristine.
So she takes the bug home and she starts to
work on it. I love her driving. she's waving. And they're like, what a death trap.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, yeah. I'm just happy to be rid of that thing. she gets it home and she starts to work on it. And I guess it's his arm or something falls off the car.
It was his arm hung down from the bottom of it.
Right. And so she kind of gets up underneath the car and
it transforms on top of her. Like this was
a cool looking scene where like
you see it completely transform around her like that.
Right.
And, yeah. And this is where we get the scared because it's his memory's wiped. He doesn't know where he is.
Right.
And he cowers in the corner and like, I found it really cute. I liked it. I don't
the
know.
The scene that I loved the most in this movie is at the very end, is the credits.
But I like when he hides behind the rock on the beach.
I enjoyed that. Well, it's like, it was fine. It was like just a little bit too cutesy.
Yeah.
But like when John Cena salutes him and he does the Judd Nelson arm raise, that was my favorite part. I loved that part.
Because he watches Breakfast Club, like that has to be coming.
Oh yeah, but, yeah. He does it twice, but this is the best where he's like he's walking backwards and does like the.
So she's freaked out. Bumblebee's scared and everything.
So they have a moment. They have a Shape of Water moment.
What?
Not that.
What?
There was. I will say.
What cut did you see
from the trailers of this movie? I was like, man,
is that what happened when he transformed on top of her?
Yeah. That wasn't his arm hanging down.
Yeah,
I guess
it was not. Yeah. I mean, well done, Bumblebee. but like, there was a moment in this when these trailers came out, where I was like, is this supposed to be a love story? Like,
oh
what?
Hell no! Come on.
Look, I agree. But like, if you go watch that first trailer, where like they change the music and like it's the whole scene in the water where she's what? Reaching down to him.
What scene is this? I don't recall.
Yeah,
this.
When
what?
He's when at the when he hit like he blows up the levee.
I think Joe's writing some slash fiction over there.
No,
is that why you were late today? Were you writing your Bumblebee slash?
The scene where they're in the quarry and he blows up the levee, right? And she does the dive. Which I was just like, oh God! Like, of course,
the triple Lindy,
where she has to dive into the water.
80s.
It's true. Yeah.
Oh, she was like an amazing diver, but
They say she's a state champion, and then all of a sudden she's just like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, because her dad was the one that like was the coach or encouraging her when he died.
Was there
I get
time.
It. I mean, if your parent dies that was your biggest supporter and you're dealing with that, I could get you not wanting to go do your flips and you know in front
but
of,
yeah so whatever. but they tease that she's gonna do it and then she won't do it because the cool guy is just like I'll dump with you,
the cool guy that at the corn dog job, she's bringing all the food and drinks and she spills it on me, you get the caddy girls and the everything, you know, but then later at the quarry she sees him again and he's gonna dive and
and then she doesn't do it,
and this is where you got the touch because she's like wants to stay by the car and Bumblebee opens the door and it starts playing. You got the
right
touch.
Right. And it was like, is that what they, oh man. So I don't know why I thought that was the song from the Karate Kid.
Mm-mm. It's You Got the Touch.
Okay.
I remember cause I was waiting for, I'm like, where are they going to use it? Yeah.
It is You Got the Touch.
But
Karate Kid is Glory of Love.
Yeah. Also a good song. And by good song, I mean not a good song.
And of course it's also the song from Boogie Nights.
Is it?
That's the You Got the Touch.
You Got the Touch.
Yeah. Okay, I was like, I didn't think that
was the one that Mark Wahlberg is.
Yeah. So that we kind of get their relationship is building, and they're, you know, the army is after them. The Decepticon, two more.
Meanwhile, Angela Bassett is like the head of this group of Decepticons.
It's her and another one.
And whoever the other one is.
Yeah. So they kind of come to Earth, and I do like the doctor. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. The creepy.
Yeah.
He's like your stereotypical like German scientist doc. Like that's what he is playing, that character of like the German doc assistant, creepy like experimenting doctor.
And like everybody's on board with giving the Decepticons complete access to
This was clever too when they basically explain them inventing the internet. It's have a whole connection of interconnected web of it was funny how they phrased it, because again this is 87 where we all had
using bulletin boards.
There was no email. There's none of that stuff.
But yeah, the only thing that's a little, a tad bit, maybe more than ridiculous, is them
email
into security clearance with satellites and like letting them set up.
I do like that the captain was like, "You want access to our satellites?" And they're like, "Yeah."
But then again, the general's like, "Yeah, have them set this up. We'll kill them and use their network." So I get where they were going. They're like, "Yeah, just have them hook it up and we'll."
The general's like, "Do you know how much porn we can get?"
That's what that
we
was.
We can set it to You Got the Touch.
Also the name of the porn parody.
Also the name of the porn, Transformers, You Got the Touch. It's just fleshlights. Like this whole movie. So they
And
like,
you know what? Bumblebee is still the name of
Bumblebee
the
Bumblebee is still the name
toy,
right?
Yeah.
That's correct. It still works. So does Hot Rod, but whatever.
Is there a honeycomb of bees in the next room? I just keep hearing bzzz.
What is she doing over there? So this relationship is building between Haley Steinfeld and Charlie, I guess is her name, and Bumblebee. And like she's trying to teach him the ways of the world. And
I find it really cute.
He's
learning from nothing. He's a kid.
I guess I feel like, but this is, I've seen this. You know what I mean? Like this is kind of the same scene that we get, same story we get with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I just like this better, even though, again, I like Shia, but I think they handled it so much better in this movie.
I think it's because she's better. Like, Shia LaBeouf in 2007 was kind of untouchable.
I think
like,
this guy,
I don't think, but I also don't think he had as good of a movie to work with.
I think this guy is better than Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Michael Bay knows how to make things go boom. I think this guy who's been telling these stories, Coraline and Kubo and all these that we mentioned, all these Laika films, it's like this guy has a hand in really good storytelling.
Sure.
And Michael Bay does some cool stuff, but let's be real.
He has some cool visuals and he has made some great, great action movies.
Yeah.
But
it's like action porn. I mean, it's just, he knows how to blow stuff up and it looks really cool, but the substance isn't there. But this movie is smaller and it's about the character development. It's about Charlie, who, as you mentioned, is Haley Steinfeld's character, Bumblebee with no memory, learning about Earth and their ways and friendship. And, it's so much more about the characters than just these huge robots are going to smash things and we're going to zoom into their elbows as they're, remember that it was the first one in the forest when it's just like trees, like close ups of
the second one.
It's either the first or second where
they
zoom in.
The first one's like in the city where it's like, now we've got two giant machines. We've also got giant buildings.
Yeah.
I think
it's the second where they're in the forest.
It is the second. Yeah.
And it's just like close ups of trees and an arm and like, you're like,
you think it's an arm. Maybe it's a knee or a face. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she's kind of teaching him music. She gives him a new radio.
Yeah.
Because
he learns the trick with the radio. So we find out that's what he does in the first Michael Bay movie.
Yes, correct.
Meanwhile, these Decepticons are like, so we're going to use their network and their satellites to take over Earth.
Right.
But we're going to pretend like, so they play the general and Cena as like, hunting down a fugitive. And if you let us use your network, we will find him before he destroys Earth.
I do the line where Angela Bassett's character starts doing the whole thing and the other guy's like, what are you doing? Wait, why are you kneeling? Oh, this is so embarrassing. Like, I did like that.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, so yeah, she plays the Americans as we are wont to do.
But you know what? At least, again, the script is smart, though, because John Cena has been attacked by Bumblebee.
Right.
Because Bumblebee didn't know what to do. He was cornered.
Bumblebee was attacked first.
Well, I know, but like, again, Cena's character is going to see a meteor robot coming down as a threat. And like, when he defends himself, they get it, and then they say, oh, we have a rogue, you know, villain from our planet escaping here that needs to be hunted down.
And they're just like,
he's like, oh, we were attacked by him.
Right.
It all lines up, at least.
So Bumblebee, I'm trying to think if he, so Haley Steinfeld has to go to work. Bumblebee's kind of mucking around the house.
Oh, geez.
This
How
was bad.
Stressful
I hated
was this,
this
moment?
I hated it. I hated every
I didn't think
part
it was bad, but I'm like, oh, my God. Like, so she leaves him with a TV or, no, she says transform.
Also, just like, drive him to work.
Yeah, that.
What
was,
are you doing?
I
like,
know.
You've got Bumblebee as
I
your car.
I said the same thing. I'm like, take him with you. At least you'll know he's out of the.
Yeah, right.
But she keeps him. She's like, stay transformed. We put a cover on you. I think the dog maybe peeks his head through the doggy door. And
I
like,
did like where he kind of like bumps into the door and the whole door falls off.
I thought it was really funny.
But other than that, I thought this was terrible. I was, ugh.
It's just your classic, like, you know, I mean, it's like Patrick and SpongeBob or like, you know, it's the classic like guy that's just going to mess everything up. That
And that's what he does. He destroys this house. But in the process, he messes with like an electrical outlet.
Yeah,
and that's how they find out that Bumblebee is in San Diego.
This movie,
San Francisco.
This movie handles the internet just like Wreck-It Ralph, which I thought was really funny. So like the internet goes over network cables, right? But in Wreck-It Ralph, they're like through the power strip, and but in this movie, he goes through the electrical outlet and transfers to all the things. I'm like, we just saw Wreck-It Ralph. It was funny. They handled it the same way. But that activates like the signal to tell them
they know where he's at. So they are on their way to San Francisco, I guess is where they are, right? Because that last scene is them like looking over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they're definitely in
California.
Yeah.
How do they capture Bumblebee?
So
The Decepticons show up and Bumblebee doesn't have any of his skills.
Sector 7, they pinpoint him. Sally blames so this was the other thing where I'm like, the thing I was mad about was not Bumblebee's destruction, but Charlie comes home to see it, and then the mom's instantly like blames her for it. It's like, what do you think this girl did at this
also,
house?
Also, the mom stole her car. Like, there's a whole scene.
Take the dog to the vet. I get it.
No. To me, I was like, don't take my car without you wouldn't buy me a car. I went out and got my own car, and then you go and take my car to put the sick dog in
it? Do you think that if a kid lives under your roof and they have a car, but your dog is sick and you don't have a vehicle, like, taking the car is justified? I think that's fine. I mean,
nope, wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah,
nope.
I mean, that's just, you live in her house. But
she didn't buy you that car.
I know, but the dog was sick. I mean, she doesn't have a vehicle.
Then
like,
ask. And if you don't get a response, then you take the car. But you don't just take the car.
All right.
Especially when it's a freaking Autobot. You know,
well, what are
you
gonna, she didn't know that.
It doesn't matter, Tom. Doesn't matter.
Okie dokie.
They get captured.
That was kind of a fun scene. She had a scooter before that, and so she's on the scooter trying to catch up to the car, and then the mom like almost sideswipes her because she's right next to it, and she scares her, and it's like, no, get out.
I'm driving the car. I care about that dog so
much. Oh, and
so
it was
much.
Really funny because then Bumblebee is like waving at her as she's on the scooter.
I did enjoy that, where she's like, what are you doing?
It's funny, yeah.
Yeah. So
Cena and the crew is after.
They show up. Then they take Bumblebee.
Decepticon Shatter and Dropkick, if anyone ever questioned what their names were.
I did. I looked it up because I was like, am I supposed to know who? Because like, that's not Starscream.
No.
Because Starscream had the same voice as Skeletor, I think. Like the guy that did the original voice of Skeletor.
I don't know, but I could hear that. Yeah,
I think he's also.
It's that really high pitched.
I think he's also Cobra Commander.
Oh, okay.
I think that's all the same guy. So they take Bumblebee, but they don't know that he doesn't have a voice box. Mm. So they're beating the bejesus out of him. This is the scene where even the doctor's like, I think we've made a mistake. We have screwed up. I will say, I also like how they handle blowing up human beings.
Yeah.
Where like they turn them into
like a mercury metal or something.
Yeah. It's almost like a T-1000.
Yeah. No, it was good because there's no blood, but it's goop.
Yeah,
it turns them into goop.
He's like, I like when they go pop.
That was funny. That was the beginning when they first find. That was like where the guy buys a new truck and the wife
also,
is like going to leave him.
Driving a hot rod. They're all over this movie, Kevin.
It's kind of generic, but
it's really sticking in your craw.
There was a meteor coming down to attack their trailer
park, basically.
And they're all hiding, and he's like, oh, thank God the car is okay, and the wife is like in a ditch. Like, it was basic.
Line that I did like is like, you tried to have sex with my sister, and he's like, but I didn't.
Yeah, so it doesn't count.
She's like, that's not how it works.
He was awful. Yeah. But he ends up turning to goop.
He does take a turn to goop.
I like how they turn him to goop and let her go.
Yeah, right. So
this is the scene where they take over like the CIA base or whatever.
Yeah.
And when like the door is locked, and so John Cena's like, let's get the C4.
Blow it up.
Whatever he says, I can't remember.
Why don't you say you can't see me or something stupid? You horrible, horrible actor.
Whatever the line.
Also, you suck at wrestling, John Cena. Just put it out there.
There you go. I won't disagree with any of that. But whatever the line was just like, oh my God.
It's so bad. We talked about Momoa doing those one-liners in Aquaman. Rock doing the one-liners and they work.
Momoa's Orson Welles with the permission to come aboard compared to Cena. Seriously, it's no contest.
I kept thinking about that scene after we talked about it, and I was like, no, I didn't mind. Like, I felt like he was just leaning into the cheese, and I was cool with the cheese in that moment. Anyway, Haley Seinfeld somehow gets there with it's not Barack Obama. and Bumblebee is... he's dead basically, so they take like these stun guns that they captured Bumblebee with the first time and keep shooting him.
I like how they're like one use stun guns. she keeps pulling him from the wall and like shocks him, throws
all
it
right,
and there's,
that
like,
doesn't work.
There's like a pile on the ground.
I did like the pile of guns on the ground because they wouldn't work, and then finally Bumblebee sits up and he's rebooting, and I'm assuming that means that he's rebooting because it says his memory cells are rebooting. So did that mean that he was getting his memories back from Cybertron?
I took it as it was just,
or he's
from
just going
the new
back
memories.
From the new memories.
I'm not 100% sure. This was the only of all the things in this movie, and I know it's giant robots and aliens, whatever, fine. But the only thing I don't like is this trope that if a robot machine, whatever, gets totally damaged, somehow jolting it with electricity will like jumpstart it like a heart. I mean, it has parts. Like they're destroying Bumblebee.
Right. We should say that while they're destroying Bumblebee, they step on his chest.
Yeah,
and
they're destroying him. Like jump starting him is not the issue.
It reveals the message from Optimus, where they're just like, "Oh,
that was a cool Star Wars homage." That was straight R2-D2.
Oh, absolutely,
Leia,
was
cool,
definitely.
But I just don't like that trope where it's like when you have a machine with mechanical parts and you're destroying it, jolting with electricity doesn't make mechanical parts heal.
It's not how that works.
But this isn't the only movie that does it. But
no,
I hate
they
that
use
trope.
That a lot.
It's like you can't, it doesn't work like that. Like, if someone's heart was cut in half, you can't shock him back to life. The heart is in half. Like, right. This movie is the same concept. You pull the gears and wires out.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, you get those, all those have to be connected.
Yeah, but he's shocked to life and he's perfectly fine.
But he's not. Because he turns into Decepticon. Like, his eyes go red and he starts attacking.
Oh,
he goes
into
like defense mode.
So it is his original memories. He only has memories of Cybertron and destruction and fighting and war and stuff. Yeah. So he thinks he's back on Cybertron.
Is that what it was?
Fighting, yeah.
Okay. I just thought, that makes sense.
He's a soldier.
Yeah.
So.
And he starts just blowing things up. Haley Steinfeld kind of steps in and is like, hey, stop. Yeah. And he's like, okay.
Sun's going down, big guy.
Yeah, I know. It's exactly how I thought, too.
Yeah.
So another the two Decepticons show up, massive robot orgy fight.
What?
Those two
things are not the same thing.
It's hard to do these scenes. When you look at the Michael Bay stuff, it does just look like
a
cluster F of metal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one, I will say they do a much better job of differentiating between
I can't help but think it's this guy's background in animation.
It makes sense. I mean, when Michael Bay
knows how to establish a shot of action,
right? Michael Bay knows how to make things go boom,
right?
And when they show him the dailies of just like, here's what it's gonna look like, he's like, cool.
Also, to be fair, and I know that it is definitely the director, but also the CG has gotten so much better.
Yeah.
I think they used to do close-ups and film things at night and all that because the CG wasn't up to par. This guy is an animation expert,
except he films the whole thing at night. The whole last fight is at night.
This guy?
Yeah.
Oh, but other than that, I mean...
But the rest of the movie's daytime.
Bumblebee's out there. That, you know what?
Look great.
I meant to mention that. The CG in this movie is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a huge CG guy. You know, I'm all practical effects.
And there's a lot of that in this.
When
there's
full
a lot
movies
of
are
practical
CG.
In this.
But it's gotten so good to, them running around the daylight and in the desert. I'm like, it blends in.
Yeah, they're running
really
around the desert, the beach.
Well.
Like, really... bright scenes,
but the line is starting to get blurred where it used to be CGI would stand out like a sore thumb, where you'd be like, the lighting just wasn't right, and it would have that
the sheen to
it was like that stands out. But these movies, I mean, Aquaman's one that just happened, where you're talking about a movie where people are underwater, and I'm not saying, I mean, you know it's fake, but it blends in so well that it doesn't
but
distract.
I feel like Aquaman's different because when they're underwater, it's like the entire world is CG,
right?
Where they're inserting a CG character into a real environment.
But they are
in
human.
This movie.
Well, that's true. They're definitely, the humans are captured or whatever. But I just meant that like they are actors that we know, but they're completely underwater and they blend in like the way that it's just getting so good. But yeah, this movie was so impressive. Mm-hmm. The way that these Transformers, CG devices. Blend in.
Even when they get to Angela Bassett's character, because usually you don't see their mouths move.
Yeah.
You did in the Michael Bay stuff, and you do in this one. I mean, for the most part, it's only Angela Bassett's.
Because Bumblebee doesn't talk.
Right, but like you can see the like mini pieces of her mouth moving. Like, it's not just like one big mouth. Like, there's a bunch of gears and everything like attached to her mouth that I thought was very intricate and very cool.
I'm just happy that if they're going to do CG, if they're going to get rid of most practical effects and we have to accept it, at least it's getting good enough to where it doesn't distract you. Because CG used to be so distracting.
It can be. And I think it still can be. But
no,
you are right, though.
They
are getting to a point where it's not as distracting.
Yeah.
So, massive fight between Angela Bassett's character and
this is the big fight that if you're a Transformers Michael Bay fan, it's like, this is what you've been waiting for.
Right.
It's the big showdown.
And then so Bumblebee takes out the blue Transformer. I don't know what that one's name was. The man Transformer. And then
Decepticon?
Decepticon.
They're trans, but yeah, the,
but we should say that
the like henchmen of,
they are transmitting the signal from this point, and that's how they're going to lure the rest of the Decepticons to Earth. So that Charlie has to climb up this tower to, you know, pull this converter off the MacGuffin, the goober, if you will.
I prefer MacGuffin.
MacGuffin is also good. So Bumblebee is fighting Angela Bassett's character, and she's kind of getting the better of him, even though he has all of his skills back. He sees her.
Cena's trying to attack them too, but Bumblebee ends up saving him.
Oh,
and
that's right. Yeah, and this is where Cena's like, "Never mind, you're all right
with each
me.
Other." Yeah,
yeah. So they've
been fooling me the entire time.
They're in like, again, I don't know if you would call it a quarry. What would you call this? Like, it's like a, I wouldn't call it a quarry as much as like a mining site, I guess, because like all of that water is being held back by a ravine, a dam. I guess you could call it a dam. Bumblebee, I do like this line where Bumblebee like shoots past her, and then typical
Bumblebee destroys a dam wall. Okay, Wikipedia says they must be at a dam.
Must be in a dam. I do like where she's just like, "You missed," and I'm just like, "No, we didn't." Like, of course, I've always loved those lines. Where my favorite is in Batman Returns when Batman shoots past like the clown guy.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, "You missed." And
he pulls takes the wall.
Apparently,
and,
yeah. Batman's strong enough to pull off a piece of concrete from an uncracked wall and smack a guy with it.
And then he does pulls the old bomb in the pants trick.
That movie, it's a Christmas movie. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas movie.
So she gets crushed in the process. He gets kind of swallowed up by the water, and Haley Steinfeld decides to pull the triple Lindy and jump off this thing. And I'm just like, you know, you can't just dive into things head first. Like, you don't know how deep that is. You don't know what you're diving into.
Kids.
So she kind of pulls. This is the Shape of Water scene that I was making fun of.
Oh,
where it's like she grabs him by the hand. I was like, you know, it's a car. Like, I know things weigh less.
Yeah,
water,
I don't know how.
But it's also a car. Like, you're not gonna...
I vaguely remember this, and I don't. But I remember in the theater thinking, like, what are you gonna do?
Nothing. You're gonna do nothing. He's gonna save you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing they've got. So he comes out of the water, and then Cena kind of shows back up, and he's just like, "You better get out of here. My friends are on their way." And she was like, "Okay." And they drive away. And then
he's court-martialed and sent to jail for the rest of his life. Right.
But I do. This is the scene where he's like, "Hey, soldier!" And Bumblebee turns around and he salutes him. And Bumblebee does like that.
I wish they put him in jail for life so he wouldn't have any chance of being in a sequel.
I honestly like The Rock is a box office draw.
Yeah,
Batista.
Sure,
Batista's.
Oh yeah.
I don't think he can open anything on his own yet.
No, but after Guardians,
he's a draw. Yeah. John Cena is not, like,
no, he's trying.
If this had been Batista, like, maybe it's not as bad.
I'm telling you, I said this way back after Trainwreck and all those. He's good in ironic roles where it's like, it's just this big dumb guy is acting a certain way that it's just funny and awkward.
He was
like,
funny in Sisters.
When he's a drug dealer that shows up.
And he was funny.
Like,
he was funny in Trainwreck.
Yeah, it's just he's funny in those roles. But when he actually tries to be
Cockblockers,
he is good in Cockblockers. That's true. I was surprised how much I liked that movie.
Yeah, that was okay.
That was solid.
Yeah. But it's like when he leans into the I'm a big strong guy when it's not ironic, he's just not good.
It's the character that he portrayed on TV, and it just doesn't.
But it's that he's not an actor,
right?
Like,
no, right.
Rock,
I agree.
It took The Rock a while to get.
Yeah,
his,
but he always had that spark, though. That thing you can't learn. Like, John Cena doesn't have either the acting ability or the spark. Rock had the charisma to when he had hair and he wasn't making the greatest movies.
When he did
Daddy Daycare.
No,
was that?
When he did Walking Tall,
or what was the
and
one?
The
Runaway,
Rundown. You were just like, oh. Crap.
Rundown was great.
Rundown,
and that was very early on in his career.
Yeah,
more praise than it has ever gotten ever.
But like, you look like Scorpion King.
But oh, that's fair.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. But that was his first thing, and that was. Yeah. I mean,
he did. I mean, he did the Scorpion King. Yeah. Then he went back to wrestling, and then he came back.
That Be
Walking.
Cool. He was great in Be Cool.
Be Cool was the that. Be Cool's the you one. Didn't? Where he's like the gay,
yeah.
It's like Get Shorty sequel.
Get Shorty sequel.
He's like this big, you know. He's against type in this one, where it's like he's this big, strong henchman, but he's also gay and he's like dresses.
But he loves like show tunes. And
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So like that was the moment we were just like, oh, there's more to him than just that El Dorado. Sorry, rundown character.
Right.
Should have called it El Dorado. Much better title.
That's a good title.
Yeah.
I think the Scorpion King is the only thing, and I mean that wasn't necessarily him. I mean, he was playing a
no. He was. You're talking about The Mummy 2.
Yeah.
So the Scorpion. There's a the Scorpion King movie. That's just him.
Right.
Oh. Okay. I'm thinking of him being like a scorpion warrior.
No,
and I'm like, what are you gonna do?
In the Scorpion King. Okay. That's his movie.
Yeah.
And it was not very.
But
good.
Was he that bad, or was it just a bad,
it's a bad
cheesy?
Movie. It's a lot of flame to go around.
Yeah.
So yeah, he does the you know Breakfast Club fist pump. He and Charlie break up. I do like where so they have the scene where she's like, "I can't go with you. Like, you got to do your thing. I totally get it. I have to believe that we're going to see her again. Like in these, if we see more Bumblebee, I feel like she's got to come. Imagine
she
to come
makes
back,
this
I
movie. I would love for her to be.
And I do like where he sees a Corvette
No, is it a Corvette?
Camaro.
It was a Camaro.
This shows how he turned into the Camaro, which I'm like, oh, we got one movie with the bug, and they're already turning him into
getting
a Camaro.
But I do
but
like
we
where
see
she's
the truck.
Well, she goes, "You could have been a, you could have been a Camaro the entire time."
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
but we see him go next to a semi, which is a, like a wink to that's what Optimus is going to scan because it's the colors.
Well,
and the
I
design.
Feel like it is Optimus.
Well, I mean, they never. I don't know. I think it was kind of
because in
a
the
post
credit sequence, he's Optimus is with him.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was Optimus.
That could have been.
It was riding alongside.
I guess I just I felt it was unclear because they never talked to one another. He just drives next to it, but
right.
It could be. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of how there's a secret. You know, the that's not really post credits.
Mid credits scene.
Not even mid credits. It's like let's get this thing out there now.
Yeah.
so yeah, we see Optimus, and we see the other Autobots coming to Earth.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it ends. But yeah, I really wanted to like it.
And some of it might be I hate the Transformers movie so much that
anything different is
doesn't enjoy
much.
1 and 3 though.
I did not enjoy 1. I enjoyed 3.
You didn't enjoy 1 at
no,
all?
No, I was
Oh, really?
Death. Yeah.
That's the one that I think is the better.
I enjoyed 3, but okay. But the other ones.
I guess I was
but
hoping
this is the best one by
yes,
far. By far.
I think. Yeah.
I okay. I'd have to go back. Like honestly, I don't remember enough about the other 5.
They're cheesy, yeah. Man. I mean, I enjoy 1 and 3. But when you look at this movie from a filmmaking perspective, whether it's acting, the script, the CG, but I mean, to its credit, I mean, those it's current. I mean, they've had time to work on
right.
CG.
It's not,
but
not really entirely
yeah,
fair.
But camera shots and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it's a solid movie.
It's a definitely better made.
Yeah. It's actually got a story to it, not just a collection of
action
set pieces,
yeah.
You know?
Whereas those the Michael Bay focus on the action sequences, yeah. And we have to put some script in here. Like this movie is smaller and contained. It's
feel
about
like
Charlie.
In a Transformers movie, they write the action scenes first, and yeah. Then they connect them
plot
with plot. Where
it.
This
yeah.
They had a plot.
Yeah,
they wrote a story. You know,
and if we get more action like that Cybertron scene when we get Optimus and everything, I think we're going to be in for some fun.
That could be fun. It could be. So yeah, there it is, Bumblebee.
So I guess that's it for this one.
Yeah.
Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or at our website, RealSpoilers.com, and Twitter at RealSpoilers. And of course, find us on Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Bird Box. Until then.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Zeus beats Adam in a decision.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.